Isaiah 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Go up on a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. This is God's holy and infallible word. Beloved in the Lord, the words of Isaiah the prophet came to a people that were in exile. You have to think back with me to that period of time in which Israel was in Babylon, and an entire generation had passed by the time Isaiah speaks. An entire generation. That would be all of the people who remembered what it was like to live in Israel, to live in Jerusalem, to be able to worship God. They were in exile. Because they were in exile, they were defeated. They were bitter. They were disillusioned. Many of them probably thought that God had failed them. That's kind of what we do, isn't it? When things aren't going the way we think they should go, we kind of blame God. Well, after all, he's in control. And he becomes something else than the God who speaks to us from Scripture. But God, who knows and loves his people, comes to this people in exile, to this people that had forgotten about him for the most part, to this people who were disillusioned, who were bitter, and he comes to them with a great message of hope. He comes with a great promise. He comes with a message to them that is ultimately the message of his gospel, that he is going to bless them and that the glory of God would be once again made known for all of the world to see. Because God comes with a message of comfort. He cannot do otherwise. That's his purpose. If the focus of Christianity were just our sins, our future would be shut down, there would be nothing left, we would have no hope. But Christianity is not all about our sins. Christianity is what God has done about our sins. Christianity is all about the saving grace of God, the one who comes with absolute pardon through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sin, we fail God, and we suffer for it, much as Israel was suffering at the time that Isaiah writes these words. But God does not leave us in that suffering. God does not leave us in that situation. When his discipline has finished its good work, God comes to us with his overflowing love and his grace, not with a frown, but with a smile. He comes with his nearness and presence, and he comes with his blessing upon his people. And that's what Isaiah begins with at the very first part of chapter 40. It is a declaration of God's great comfort to his people. Bring a word of comfort to the people that are in exile. It's a promise of God. It's a promise that's set against the background of judgment. They had lost everything in this exile. They had lost their homes and families. They had lost their jobs, their businesses. They had lost the temple. They had lost the ability to go and worship God. Everything was punishment for this people. But in the midst of this exile, God comes to them and he says, "Your exile is over. The hardship is done." He goes on, he says, "The guilt is paid," and his word to the people is a word of hope. "Be comforted," he writes. "Be comforted because God's grace is coming to you. The wrath that had gone forth in double measure is done. Now the love that God has will be unrestrained, the love of God that will bring forth the blessing upon his people that ultimately comes to pass in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a promise that the King is coming. It's coming to us as well. It's coming to those who need him in their lives and to those who receive him and those who receive him by faith. Those are the ones who receive the hope of this glory of God. And that's why he says the glory of God, therefore, is God himself becoming visible, God bringing his presence down to us. We read in the 9th chapter of this same prophet, Isaiah, that promise that the Lord would bring one whose name was Emmanuel, the everlasting God, the Prince of Peace. That's the central message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's here in Isaiah. It's predicted in Isaiah. It's predicted that he would not only be born, but that he would be a deliverer. It's predicted that he would come, and through him, the glory of God would be made known, and it would be made known to God's people. God had not forgotten his people. They were in exile. But notice that he says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." He identifies them as his people. They are his covenant people. God had not forgotten them. God had not forgotten his covenant with them. Through that covenant, they always belong to him, and God never forsakes his own. That's why he can say that these words are from your God. God speaks comfort to the hearts of his people. He aims to win their hearts, to change their hearts, to transform their hearts, and to bring them happiness and joy like rain that falls upon the dry earth. He brings the words of hope and his promise that his people needed to hear. And he's going to accomplish that promise. We see that in verses 3 through 5. He's going to accomplish them by his power. And it's not going to depend at all upon man, because in verses 6 through 8, he talks about man's frailty. It's God who is going to keep his promise. The certainty of this promise, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God," is God. God fulfills his purpose. The message of comfort comes from a God who can do what he promises, and he will do what he promises. What he promises is victory over sin, and he does that in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in this passage, "Proclaim the way of the Lord. Prepare for the Lord's blessings. All spiritual roadblocks are to be removed." Notice it says the desert here. It will be, you know, what's a desert? Not a great place if you're a farmer. What are you going to plant in the desert? Not much. A desert isn't fruitful. But here the desert is going to be transformed, and in it a highway to God. It's a picture of the fact that God overcomes every spiritual barrier. Everything that's barren, where like in the desert it's dry, there's no growth, not a problem for God. God is going to come and he is going to transform things, and the glory of God will return to his people. They will rejoice, and all flesh, all humanity will see it. This is fulfilled when Jesus came. when he came to live and to dwell among us. It says in Scripture, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus comes to fulfill this great promise in his coming to be one of us. And man's frailty, our humanness, will not accomplish and it will not prevent any of these blessings. Notice that it speaks of that in verses 6 through 8. What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. Notice verse 8, the same thing is said. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. When you look at that, what is Isaiah saying? He's saying there's not much in humanity to be hopeful about, because we're like grass. You know, grass is always nice. It grows up very nicely, and it looks beautiful. But come winter time, it gets a little brown sometimes, and sometimes it gets a little dead, and it's pretty much gone. In the Holy Land, when the hot Scirocco winds would pass over the land, it would dry out the moist, beautiful grass, and it dried out in minutes. It faded, and it was no more. And that's the picture Isaiah is putting out there for Israel to see about humanity. Humanity is fading. Humanity has no ability to carry out all of these great purposes. But what will carry out the purposes of God is found in the last part of verse 8. The word of our God will stand forever. That's in contrast to the grass. The grass that comes, it's beautiful for a moment, for a period of time, but that wind comes and destroys it, and it is no more. But the word of God is there. It's unfailing. The word of God is imperishable. The word of God stands up. The word of God endures. The word of God is permanent. The word of God is the assurance of God's great promise. And that's why in this word, Isaiah says that's what God is speaking again. His word of hope. Comfort, comfort my people, says the Lord. What is the comfort? It's about what God has done, not what we can do. If you have ever thought about the difference between Christianity and other religions, I think you can say it in those two words. Done, what God has done. And almost every other religion in the world is all about what we can do. But Christianity is not about what we can do, it's about what God did. What God did, what he has done for us. Christianity is the assurance of God's love, that when we trust in him and in his power and in his grace, we are safe. Only God is the one who qualifies for our trust. No human power can stop him. No human power, mere grass or flowers, will be able to put up any resistance to the sovereign power of God. God's promise is absolutely certain. And Isaiah says that's what we need to rest in, the word of God. It will rest, it will stand, it will remain, it will endure, it is forever. And it is this power that God has through which he establishes his kingdom. And he begins to talk about the establishment of God's kingdom and the spreading of this promise of comfort in verses 9 through 11. He makes a change and he says at verse 9, go up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of what? Of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Here, God's purpose is spread so that all may hear and see, so that all may glorify God, the God who gives you comfort in his unfailing blessings that he showers upon you through his word. It's quite the phrase to use for a nation inclined to making its own gods like they did at Mount Sinai. Remember at Mount Sinai, Moses goes up to get the Ten Commandments while he's up there for a few weeks, or how long he was up there. What are the Israelites doing? Making another god. God had said you shouldn't do that, but they did it. Israel is the picture here of the failure to believe in God. Israel here is the picture of the fact that we have the desire to make our own gods, not to rest in the God of Scripture, but to have that which we in our own imagination, that which we in our own understanding seek to define as God. But the God who speaks through his word is the God who brings the comfort of the promise of his grace. And he acts on behalf of his people. Verse 10 speaks of his sovereign power. The Lord comes with might. His arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense is before him. He is sovereign. Our gods are not. His sovereignty will accomplish his purpose. When he comes, he will judge the enemies of his people, and he will bless and reward his people. Their suffering will only be exceeded by their joys. God will bless by his sovereign power his people, and he will deal with his people, as verse 11 speaks, as a shepherd. Once again, bringing to the people of Israel that wonderful example of what a relationship is like between God and his people. God is like the shepherd who cares for his sheep. God is the great shepherd, the one who rules with his strong hand, is the one who has the kind hand of a shepherd. It's a beautiful picture of God's love and of God's mercy. The God who loves his people like a shepherd. The shepherd cares for his sheep. He nourishes his sheep. He leads his sheep. Remember Psalm 23. He leads me into paths of righteousness. He feeds them. He protects his lambs. He has the rod and he has the staff. They comfort me. It is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come to lay down his life for his sheep. And that ultimately is the message that would reach the heart with the deepest assurance of comfort to God's people. The message that God in his grace loves his people so much that he would send his only begotten Son into this world to save them from their sins. Isn't it wonderful to see the God who deals with us tenderly and with his sovereignty brings to us the great blessings that only he can bring and gathers us unto himself like a shepherd, carries them in his bosom, it says in verse 11, and gently leads those that are with young. This is the shepherd that we have in Jesus Christ the Lord, to whom be the glory now and forever. Amen.